Everybody knows that's the truth. Nothing seems so precious as mercy the first time you know it, the first time you realize it. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we can gather together again this morning, Lord, in your name, in your presence, in your word, Lord, rejoicing that we're part of it, rejoicing that it's not just a carnal thing to us, Lord, but it's a living thing. It's bread to your children, Lord, and we're so thankful to be a part of it. And we pray you'll come and help us this morning to say what you want to say. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I was sitting back there thinking about the condition of man, and I was reading an article here just it's probably been a year or two ago, but they were talking about how the phones and the computers and the internet and stuff was causing people to have shorter and shorter concentration periods, so that almost everybody's attention span was getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And whenever somebody would say something to them in a conversation, they would listen less and less, and they would think about it less and less, and they were responding in kind. So, you know, if you don't listen to somebody sometimes, when they say something, you'll get it wrong. And I'm the world's worst about that. But as times went on, it's getting worse and worse across the whole population. And they were talking about how that people are losing the ability. This next generation coming up especially is losing the ability to do what they call long thinking, concentrating, taking a problem and sitting on it for 15 or 20 minutes and just really giving it the thought that it needs and breaking it down and considering it. They're losing the ability to do that. And I thought to myself, you know, let's not do that with the word ever. Let's not read it on the surface. Let's not let it be something that we just take it in passing and go on, and it's not important. Because we look at the world and we see when they say something. I mean, you can say anything. I'm going to read a quote this morning where Brother Branham uses the word darky to talk about a black person. Now, you know he didn't mean it derogatory. But if you use that term nowadays, it don't matter how you mean it. They're going to take it and take your words and make your words mean something that you had nothing in your heart about. Now, some people are going to use it and use it for that reason. They're going to be derogatory. But what I'm saying is they're going to take your words and twist them and bend them and go on, because they're not thinking. They're just reacting. They don't care what really is going on inside of you. They just want to sensationalize this and make a dollar on that and get somebody to look at this. It's just gone absolutely nuts and crazy. And those are the people that are becoming our leaders day by day. Those that won't think out a problem, they just react. That's the ones that's becoming our leaders. Amen. And so we don't want any part of that. And we sure don't want to bring it into the message ever. I guess I was thinking about that because ever since I read this quote the other night, I can't get it off my mind, and I kept thinking about it. And so let's read it again. It's this first one from the Church Ages book. Those in the bride do only his will. That's a big old statement. Because first of all, it means you have to know his will all the time.
Amen.
If you're only going to do his will, then you know his will all the time. And you look back in the other church ages, they didn't. They didn't know his will all the time. Martin Luther knew justification was his will, but he didn't know putting them cigars down and putting these other things down was his will. He didn't know that. But that speaks volumes, what Brother Branham is saying, when he says that God will present a virgin bride to him. Means she'll always know his will. And she won't be out of it. And not only will she always know it, but she'll do it. No one can make them do otherwise. So that talks of a power that they can't be deceived. They can't be bent and twisted off in some direction. They have power to know his will and to do his will. And brother, that is strong meat. And I don't think people believe it, because if you really believe that, that's going to change your life right there. And when I say believe something, and I'm not speaking for y'all, I'm talking about in general, people don't believe it, okay? You know, my wife tells me that a lot of times when I'm talking it, it sounds like I'm like saying you or you, and I don't mean it like that. But, you know, so I'm just telling you what he said. And a lot of times I'm preaching just as hard at me as I'm preaching to whoever's listening. You know, I'm doing the same. I remember talking to Brother Holmes more than one time. And he said, yeah, brother. He said, I said, many times I find myself preaching to myself while I'm there in the pulpit. And so he said, I find it hitting me while I'm in the pulpit is what he said. And so that's the truth. That's the truth. If you do, if it happens like Brother Gumba was praying a while ago, that you shut Chris's mouth and only God speaks, then the word coming, then that's going to hit you, whether you're standing here or sitting there. The word is the correction. And so I thank God for it. Every last time he's ever done it, every last time he will do it, I thank God for it. Because Brother Branham said he chastens those who he loves. So every time he does it, I know how much he loves me. You know, it might hurt. I still know he loves me. See? Amen. So they have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Now, that ain't just knowing what Brother Branham said, or you don't say that. No, this is knowing what Brother Branham said, and it becomes a living article in you. It becomes something that dictates your life to you every day. You're not thinking about it. It's just happening. Brother Manham said, when God gets in you, it's automatic. Remember that song we sing? Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. It's bringing this thing under subjection. And it will do it. There's no doubt about it. He didn't put it in there to not do it. It will do it. But they have, thus saith the Lord. It speaks to everything, because it just speaks to what he just said above that. When they have his will and they do it, they know that it was to be God in them. It has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. So while all this is going on, they know it's God in them doing it. If they don't know that it's God in them doing it, then it's not God doing it. See? And so we're talking about fellowshipping with God and the basis for fellowshipping with God. And so I couldn't get past this quote. I've been looking at it and thinking about it and reading it and talking out loud about it to the Lord, I guess, because there's nobody else up there with me. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry. So now he works in and through the bride. She knows she's that instrument. I heard Brother Branham say the other day when he was getting ready to minister, he said, Lord, sanctify the instrument. So we know that we're the instrument. She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. So, this specific time, not talking about a future one, he's talking about right now. So let's go in. Somehow this scripture kept coming to mind. So let's read the whole one. Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This is Paul talking about the Jews. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So they got zeal, but something's wrong with it. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, here's what's wrong with it. Here's what's wrong with their zeal. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Boy, have we not seen that in this day. Yeah. This is that day. The Laodicea age, self. That's what it's all about. Individual rights. And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So with all the zeal they can have, it ain't doing them a bit of good because they won't submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So they won't let go of the law and take the righteousness of Christ. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteous which is of faith, not the righteousnesses of the law, but the righteousness of faith. And what did Brother Ram say faith was? Revelation. And what is revelation? Is God unfolding himself to you. So not just revelation of law. If you can keep this or if you can keep that. If you can do what it says. Not break these Ten Commandments. But the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart. Now the righteousness of the faith. He's going to tell what it says, what its meaning is. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the depth, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? So it don't say those things. What does it say? The word is nigh thee. The truth, it's right next to you. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So, the righteousness is of truth. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With what? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know that has a deeper meaning than what people think a lot of times. How then shall they call on him? There we go. See, Paul goes right to it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? What's going to make them believe and call on him? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? He's walking it back. He's walking it right back to God. Except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias, which I think that means Isaiah, saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? We've told him the truth, but who's believed it? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can't hear it if it's not by the word of God, if it's not predestinated. But I say, and we'll talk about that word heareth in a minute, because we know it's not with these ears, but it's way, way deeper than that. But we got a saying nowadays, they said that the word hear started dropping off in use in the 1800s. I don't know why that is. Went way down. And then here just in the last 10 years started going back up. And so we got this saying, I hear people say it a lot. I hear you. I hear you. It means you understand them. I get what you're saying. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went unto all the earth, and the words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. He's going to provoke Israel to jealousy by them that are no people. And by a foolish nation, I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. So the ones that heard the message I was bringing was not the ones that sought me out. But they're the ones that heard me. This is good, brother, sister. This is so good. I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Didn't know anything about me. Remember what he said a while ago? How can they hear if there's no preacher? How can they believe? I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. So he's found out that Israel, he can't, and brother, Paul told Peter, I'll go to the Jews and you go to the Gentiles. I'm sure that he preached to both, but he was focused was the Jews. But Paul was talking about how hard it is to deal with them and stuff. How hard is it to get them to accept it and turn away from the law? So here's the other words for the word here. Now, the definition of here mostly gets on the physical, but when you start talking about swapping out words for it, this is what they say to use. Hear means to perceive, to catch, to get, to make out, to take in. Hearing comes by the word. That's the kind of hearing we're talking about. You can take it in. You won't go in one ear and out the other. You can take it in. Faith is a substance, Brother Ram said. It's something that's real. He said it's just as real as the floor you're standing on. That faith that's a substance. You take it in. Discern, gather, glean, ascertain, be made aware, be given to understand. So hearing is much greater than people would believe. It ain't just because I heard you say it. It's a spiritual thing that takes place because you can't get God unless God shows you himself. We can talk about him all day. This is his word. But until God breaks his word to you, it's not going to be substance in you. So let's look at some of the things he talked about. I think this is going to be two or three services. The first one, I want to just go into some of the older messages and we'll come out going forward. I don't think I'd ever read this message. All the days of our life. When we receive Christ, it isn't just for a few hours or just for the time of the revival, but it's to last all the days of our life. It ain't just an idea, is it? It's something that happens to you. It changes you. It makes you something different. It adds substance to you. But it's last
but it's to last all the days of our life. I think every person coming to Christ ought to sit down first and think, before you even go to the meeting, if God should call me, am I ready? If he should speak to my heart tonight, should I stand up? Am I ready to surrender all my life to him? That's the only way that he will accept you, is when you give all your life. What Brother Branham said you had to do. He said, we got one thing, and that's surrender to God. That's it. That's the one thing that we do. We surrender. If you surrender to God, I'm going to keep reading here in a minute. I'm going to tell you what Brother Branham says it means. It means you give up all your ideas about stuff. You don't get to think about it. He said, you don't get to use your mind about it. We'll read it here. You give all your life. Man is prone to have his own way. Man wants to do things, but he wants to do it in his own way. He showed that just a few hours after his fall. In the Garden of Eden, he wanted to do it his way, because man is always satisfied as long as he's doing it his own way. And that's the way every last one of us is born into this world. And Brother Branham said that when we're born into this world that way, we're born defeated, wanting to do it our way. Did you ever notice when you're driving with somebody else? I'm sure there's some that can relate to this. There's just all kinds of mistakes that they make. The person you're riding with, they're making all kinds of mistakes. You push the floorboard out the other side almost, trying to stop the car yourself. And in your mind, you say, well, why did he do that? Or would have did it so-and-so. See, that's just the nature of man. He wants his own way. Now, it wasn't always that way. Before the fall, it wasn't that way. And God did not make man to desire his own way. God made man to depend on him, to forsake his way, to crucify his way. He made man to do that. Man didn't do it, but he made him to do it. He likened us unto sheep, and the sheep is one animal that cannot find his own way. And I saw a picture the other day. Let me finish reading this right here. He must be led. A little lamb can lose himself from the fold, and he's just totally lost. He just stands there and bleats. And that's the way it is with the human being. If he becomes a lamb, if his nature is changed, he depends wholly upon God and upon God's leading. But the earth man, when Adam realized he had fallen from that estate, where God had had him wholly depending on him. Now remember, this is before the seals. And this is before the seals, when Brother Branham told us that Adam was behind the word. He was not the word, he was behind the word. So don't forget that. Adam quickly showed his second nature, comma, his fallen nature. If it's a fallen nature, then at one time the nature wasn't fallen. Brother Branham said that Satan can't create nothing. He has to pervert it. So what happened in the garden? He perverted Adam's nature. He perverted Eve's nature. Because they accepted the wrong thing. They walked all that time accepting the right thing, and then they accepted the wrong thing. Adam quickly showed his second nature, his fallen nature. And he wanted a way back to be redeemed. But he wanted to do it his way, after his own thinking. And Brother Branham talking about, as soon as the fall come and he realized he was naked, what did he do? He went and got some leaves to cover himself up. He was going to make his own religion, Brother Branham said. I trust that the church will understand this, that we have no right to use our own thinking about things. We have no right to use our own thinking about things. That, brother, that dismisses this carnal mind. and leaves it completely up to God. It has to be Him. When we become Christians, we totally surrender every bit of our mental powers to God and follow after His leading. We give it up. We realize that all that's wrong. And as long as we try to go after our own feeling, as long as we won't turn loose of our thinking, then we are using the fallen state of the being. Because God led Adam before the fall, and after the fall, Adam wanted to lead God. Now God provided Adam a way, but he didn't want that way. That's a sad, sad, sad situation. Can you think what was going through their hearts when he come down and he killed those sheep or lambs and clothed them in it? The blood running off of them, Brother Bram said, it was just running down their legs because it was right off of the animal. You think about that. They knew what they'd done wrong because they hid. So now God is dressing them because he dressed themselves wrong already. Tried to dress themselves wrong. And so God dresses them and then sends them out of the garden. You think what's going on. And as we see that, he wanted to do it himself. He wasn't willing to wait on God and say, Lord, you lead me. You led me before this, and now I'm fallen. I'm lost. Now help me and show me how to get back to you, Lord. We'd have never had... We'd had never had all this trouble we got today. And if man just come that close to God, if man will just come that close to God, that when you're lost, don't try to find your way back. You think about that. Don't that sound counter? It sounds like he's preaching against everything he's preached. Because he preaches, let any who will come, come. And here it says, don't try to find your own way. So he knows what he's talking about. And we'll just let God show us. God will show us what he's talking about. If man will just come that close to God, that when you're lost, don't try to find your way back. Just surrender to him. Because he's the only one knows the way. And he will lead you back. Don't try to figure it out. That's the mental powers. I said something some time ago in a meeting, a message. I said, in the Garden of Eden, God and the devil chose their part of man. The devil took his head and God took his heart. The devil tries to show him with his mental powers some great something he can do. And he only wants to see with his eyes what he can do, what he can see. God come in his heart and makes him believe for things that he cannot see. God comes in his heart. The substance comes into his heart. Believe for things that he cannot see. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. He just believes it because God said it. He don't have to see nothing. Or no sense of his body has to declare it. He just believes it in his soul where God lives. He don't have to be able to reason it out. Because there's plenty of the message you're not going to reason out. It's just not going to happen. Like Brother Bram talked about, he said, I don't know how cows eat green grass and give yellow cheese. You know, and white milk and yellow cheese. How's that? He said, he don't have to explain it. He just has to enjoy it. But the devil took his head, makes him smart, figures himself out a religion, a way of escape. God wants to lead him to the path of worship. So God leading us has absolutely nothing to do with this carnal mind, this brain that we got. God in the beginning chose what he was going to use, and that's what he's going to use. And so Adam quickly sewed some fig leaves together. Now, I'm bringing these Not because I'm trying to get on that soul message that we've been on for so long. I'm bringing these because I want you to see where the fellowship broke. What broke the fellowship? What happened? Because if we're going to have fellowship with God, something has to come, something else has to put it back. Because Brother Branham said, as soon as this happened, God started again to make man again. He made him, and that one he made fail. So now he's going to make him again, he said. I'll read that quote sometime, if I haven't already. And so Adam quickly sewed some fig leaves together, and not waiting on God. See that? He didn't wait on God. I think that's where we've made a mistake all along. If that was wrong in the beginning, it's wrong now, and it will forever be wrong, not waiting on God. If God depended wholly and completely surrender and to be led by His Spirit at the beginning, I think I read it right. And to be led by His Spirit at the beginning, that's the way it'll have to be forever. God made that way. Asked Adam to come to it. He asked Adam to come to it on his own, remember. He put him, that was a different covenant that he put him under. And we know Adam couldn't come to it on his own. But Adam didn't want to go that way. He wanted to hurry up and make his own way. So we can stay a long time on that. But notice, he made himself some fig leaves together for an apron. Well, it's still the same spirit. They still wanting to do it. You can see it everywhere. It's still the same spirit, but they changed the name of leaves to creeds. They're sewing some creeds together now. He's sewing some creeds together now. But it's still the same objective. It's still the intellectual thinking of man trying to cover himself, trying to make a religion and make that feeling go away, that God is trying to knock on the door and tell him he's not right and tell him what he needs. And they're trying to sew some creeds together to cover it up and hush it up. It's still the intellectual thinking of man and not the plan and will of God. Because the plan and will of God is just surrender. Just surrender. Don't try to find your way back. He'll take you back. You can never be saved through creeds. You must come God's provided way. God made a way, but man wants to make his own way. Amen. That's the truth. Now, I got a lot coming from perfect faith later on, but this one quote I wanted to pull here and point out something. Abraham had to believe just what the voice told him. He had to. There was no way around it. If he didn't believe that, it wasn't going to happen. And when he was 100 years old, 25 years later, he was stronger believing it than he was 25 years ago when it was given to him, see? So God made it real to him. This is your promise, Abraham. And Abraham had to stay surrendered to it for 25 years when it was given to him, see? He believed it, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God, knowing that he was able to perform what he had promised. And that's the way everyone must be that way. That's the way. And everyone must be that way. You must come with unfailing faith. There's only one unfailing faith, and that's God's revelation. Believing that God made the promise. But now you have to be in a position. Listen real close there. But now you have to be in a position to have that faith. You have to be in a position to receive that faith. And it was what? Revelation. So you have to be in a certain position to receive revelation. And that's what we're going to talk on, see, to receive that faith. I wanted to point that out. But Brother Ram, in that message is called Perfect Faith. We'll get on that, I think, the next one. But keep that in mind. that position you have to be in to receive faith. So this is in a message called God's Only Provided Place of Worship. Now, I think I brought this way back into oneness. We were is talking about Martha and what she had a right to. Whenever Jesus come back and hadn't listened to him when she was calling about Lazarus. Now, she had a right to say, why didn't you come raise my brother? Why didn't you heal him? You healed others. Your very best friend. And now look what happened. No, no. That kind of objective won't get nowhere. So she couldn't receive any kind of faith like that if that's the way she come. So that wouldn't be the position she'd have to be in order to receive faith. I believe that you're exactly what you're identified in the scripture. Now he's going to give the right position. I believe this is that day that the Messiah would come. We've been looking for it. I don't care what the rest of them say. I believe with all my heart that what I have seen and heard by the word, that the word is vindicated in you. That you are that Messiah. So if you go back up here just for a minute and you take this first part that she was saying, Brother Branham was giving the example, what if she come this way? She had a right to say, why didn't you come raise up my brother? So everything she's saying here says she believes that he's the healer and he could do it. But she wanted it on her basis. Why didn't he come when she asked him to come? Why didn't he come do what she told him to do? See, and that's what Brother Branham is talking about. That objective is won't get nowhere. And so now he's telling you this other one here. I don't care what the rest of them say. I believe with all my heart that what I have seen and heard by the word, that the word is vindicated in you. And that you are that Messiah. See, way down in her, she had something to ask for. But she had to come to the right channel. She had to surrender all her ideas. See, that was her, Brother Bram said that was her rights. That she could have come and said that to Jesus. Why didn't you do this and why didn't you do that? But she laid all those down. She wasn't trying to dictate to him how he did his job before the Lord. What if she run there and say, and then you tell me you're the Messiah and not even the courtesy gentleman enough to even answer our request? When we feed you and housed you and everything and took up for you and left our churches as you commanded us to get out of them denominations. He bringing it to the day, ain't he?
Amen.
He never leaves it back there. See, and here we've left it, and now we're counted offcast and renegades, and everything we've done for you. Look at that. She's taking something on herself. She's not leaving it completely at his feet. She's feeling like she's making a case. I've earned this, Lord. I've been this, and I've been that, and I've done this, and I've done that. I've earned this, Lord. And that's not the way to come, he said. And everything that we've done for you, and then not even the common courtesy to answer my call. Now, actually, she had that right. Like you say about your short hair, I'm an American citizen. I can wear shorts, do anything I want to. Not illegal. That's your rights. But a sheep always forfeits its rights. It always forfeits its rights. If you're a lamb, you ain't got nothing but wool. He forfeits that. And this is where I wanted to put in the story about the lamb. I saw a picture of a sheep the other day. And they had somehow or another, the sheep had gotten away from the rest of the sheep or something. And the hair had grown on it. And grown on it and grown on it until the poor sheep couldn't even walk. I mean, it was just like doing, and great old big sores and stuff was growing up on it and everything. See, that was the only thing he could forfeit. And when he didn't forfeit it, look what it done. It took away his function to live. It gave him sickness and everything else. But when they cut it all off of him, that was one happy sheep. I'm telling you what, he was jumping around. He was happy to have forfeited it and to be like he was supposed to be. And that's what I think Brother Branham's talking about here. You ain't got nothing but wool. He forfeits that. That's his God-given rights. But he forfeits it. God give him the right to choose, but he gives up to God. Don't try to find your way, he said. Don't try to find the path back to God. Surrender to God and let him take you back. I have a right to join any denomination. See, trying to find a path back to God. Join a denomination. That's exactly right, but you forfeit that. See, she forfeit all that she had rights to recognize the word of God. Look what it took to recognize the word of God. Forfeit all that she had rights to, her mental thinking, to see God. Because it takes faith, not mental. Do you lay that down? You can't have faith. Remember when he's talking about getting into position to receive faith. She forfeit all that she had rights to recognize the word of God manifested right there before her. It was happening right in front of her. But until she laid down all her ideas, she wasn't going to see it. But that's, we know Martha was that way. She laid it down. She said, he said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? See, there was one little clause she hadn't come in line with. See, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not one bad word to him about Lazarus. Not one bad word. Just, I know who you are. Oh, brother, everything was ready to spark off right then. You see that position she had to get in for the faith to strike off. See, where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? See, and you know what took place. See, you've got to get to that right place before he will receive your sacrifice. So he's not talking about just healing. He's talking about salvation, the same. You got to get to that right place before he will receive your sacrifice. See, got to come into it. Watch. In the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there, there shall you eat no leavened bread in it. You know, we then went through all that about the no leavened bread. What does that typify in the sacrifice? Don't mix it with any creed. See, that's where you worship. That's where you get in the position. You don't mix nothing. You don't pull your intellect in. You just lay it all down. Don't mix it with any creed. Got to be the word. No leavened bread. Leaven is, you know what a leaven is. In anything, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The whole lump is the body. You can't put one speck of denomination or creed into Christ. No, sir, it won't work. You remember the last Thursday night's message? Your old husband must be dead, right? The new husband is the word. Your new husband is the word. Doors indoors. And he preached this message a lot of different ways. And he preached the same examples in a lot of them too. If I think I know, yeah, I'm where I think I am. And I want to show you somebody getting in position. There's hundreds of examples. But I thought this one was interesting. So Gabe,
wherever you are, listen, we're going to talk about Gabriel and Gabe.
He opened my eyes with his eye salve.
Brother Bram said, eye salve is the word, the spirit.
His spirit came down and warmed the Bible, his eye salve. I couldn't see it. I was just a local Baptist pastor. But one day he sent his spirit down. Not the coon grease did he get hot, but he sent the Holy Spirit and fire. And little eye salved raked across my Bible. And I could see with my eye. And I mean raked across my eye so I could see my Bible. And I seen what he was, that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, him being a minister, he probably read that a lot. But now he saw something that had been laying there the whole time. The eye salve come, and he was in that position. And God's coming down to drop revelation, drop faith into his heart. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let every man's word be a lie and mine be the true. I stand at the door and knock. Now, this is the same message, and he gave that example of himself. Now he's going to give the example of Gabriel. There was an old darkie down in the south, and his pastor, I knew him, a nice old fella, and we called him Gabe. His name was Gabriel, and we just called him Gabe. He always, pastor and I, we went hunting a whole lot. He was an old color brother, and we went out hunting. And so old Gabe liked to hunt better than anybody I ever knowed. Now, Gabe is not the pastor. It sounds like that, but just so. And so old Gabe liked to hunt better than anybody I ever knowed. But he was a poor shot. I know y'all have all read this story. So one day, his pastor and him went hunting. And we could never get old Gabe to line up to church. He just wouldn't do it. He wouldn't come to church. He said, ah, I don't go down there where the hypocrites is. I said, but Gabe, as long as you stay out, they're bigger than you. You're hiding behind them, see? I said, you're hiding behind them. You're smaller than they are. They do go down and make an effort, see? And so he said, I thanks a lot of you, Mr. Beal, but said, I know old Jones down there, and he ain't nothing. He shoots craps and all that. So he's holding on to his idea still. No matter what Brother Bram said, he was still holding on to his idea about it. He's better than that. He wasn't going down there with a bunch of hypocrites. He was better than that. He said, that's all right, Gabe. I said, that's all right, Gabe. See, that's all right, but remember, Jones has to answer for that. You don't have to, you see. If you just go, I said, you got a good pastor. Old Pastor Jones is one of the finest men there is in the country. And I said, let him be your example if you can't look further than that. Let him be your example. So one day, Brother Jones said, took old Gabe hunting and said, we got more rabbits and birds that day than we could hardly pack. And said, come in the evening, said old Gabe was coming behind, all loaded down, you know, like that. And his wife was a real loyal Christian. And she had a place right there, a Holy Ghost filled woman. And she always had her post of duty. So old Gabe was coming behind, you know. And Pastor Jones said he looked around and he could see old Gabe kept looking over the shoulder like that, the sun setting. Said, getting real low, getting cool. Said, after a while, he said he was walking along. Said, old Gabe come up. He had his shotgun barrel hanging full of rabbits and birds and things. And he said, he tapped the pastor on the shoulder. And he said, Pastor? So he turned around and said, yeah, Gabe, what's the matter? He said, so he looked and great big tears was running off of his black cheeks where his beard was turning gray. He says, Pastor, I have been walking along this bank here for about a half an hour and said, I've been watching the sun go down Said, you know these gray whiskers are mine and my hair turning. Said, you know my son is sitting too, Pastor. Of all the days, he's 50-something years old, I think is what Brother Ram said. This particular day, something takes place. My son's sitting too, Pastor. Said, yeah, that's right, Gabe. And he just stopped and he turned around. And he said, what's the matter with you? He said, my son's a setting too. He said, you know that? He said, I got to thinking, said, as I was walking back there, he said, you know, he said, the Lord must love me. He laid down his ideas now. He got into the position that he was supposed to be in. And God starts dropping things in his heart. You know, he said, the Lord must love me. Said, sure he does, Gabe. He said, you know, I'm a poor shot. I couldn't hit nothing. But said, we really need this meat at home. And said, he took, just look at the big fine bunch of game he gave me. He realized who gave it to him. And who'd been giving it to him all those years. Not just today, on that day. But today was the day he was going to recognize where God had been in his life the whole time. Amen. He said, I got enough to keep us all next week. Said, he must have loved me. Because I can't hit nothing, you know. Said, I couldn't hit it, but just look at what he gave me. Then he said, he must love me or he wouldn't have given me this. Said, that's right. Now, where in the Bible is it wrote that if he gives you a bunch of a good hunt, that he must love you? I don't know where that's at. But he put it in his heart. Brother Bram said it wasn't wrote in the Bible anywhere that little woman said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I could be made whole. But that was God who put that in her heart. And God put this in his heart. And he said, well, I had a strange little knock at my door down there. He told me to turn around. God told him to turn around. And Gabe, your son is setting too. He recognized that God had said that to him now. He'd been walking those mountains for a long time. And we know he'd argued with the prophet, argued with his pastor, wouldn't go down there. Gabe, your son, is setting too. Said, Pastor, you know what I done, Pastor? I said, I made him a promise. I said, Gabe, I want to ask you something. Said, what sermon did I preach that made you feel that way? He said, Pastor, or said, now, wait a minute. What choir sang? He said, oh, I sure do love the singing down there, Pastor. I love every message you preach because it comes right from the good book. And I know it's right, but said it wasn't that. Said he just knocked and I looked around here and see how good he was to me. What he gave me. Now, how many people in this world, rich people, will tell you that God give them all that? But do they really believe it? Did God tell them he gave that to them? Or do they just assume it and intellectually think it? And it has no effect on their life. Oh, it might have a little effect here and there, but it don't make them give their lives to God. Gabe got a little bit of hunting meat, and God told him to turn around and look at the sun, and all of a sudden his world was different. It had nothing to do with the intellect. The intellect covered, the world's covered up with people so thankful for what they say God give them, and he probably gave it to them. But it's not seeing what this Gabe saw right here. Gabe saw something different here. There was a relationship starting right here. He looked around. I looked around and see how good he was to me. What he gave me. He said, Sunday morning, I'm going to walk right up to the front there where you're standing. Said, I'm going to give you my right hand because I done gave my heart to the Lord right down there. On the hill there. When he told him to turn around and look at the sun. You're not going to mistake God when he speaks to you. And you think about where the bride's standing in this day with all the revelation. Because I don't give my heart to the Lord right down around the hill there. He said, I is going to be baptized and take my place right beside my wife. And I'm going to stay there until the Lord calls me higher. See, he just happened to look around and see how good God had been to him. That seems so simple, don't it?
So very simple.
The difference was that he recognized it as God. You know, Brother Branham said there will come a time when God will show people things and they'll turn it down. That was their time. But Gabe was predestinated that when God showed it to him, he was going to take it. And so it's the basis for fellowship right there. So we'll continue on with that on Wednesday and probably next Sunday unless somebody else wants to minister. So let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I'm so thankful that like Gabe we're reading about this morning, one day, Lord, you pecked me on the shoulder and said, Chris, what do you believe? Do you believe what this word says? Do you believe this prophet is me in this hour? And Lord, because of that predestination, I do believe, Lord. And I'm so thankful I'm a part. And as Paul said, Lord, as they were coming to chop his head off, not only for me, Lord, but for all those who love your appearing, Lord. And if we've not seen your appearing in this day, Lord, I don't know what will be. We have seen it, Lord. You've made yourself manifest before us. And it's having an effect on the seed of this hour, Lord, that bride, Lord, as she's coming into it. And Father, may you go with us this week. And as we've already mentioned, Sister Vikina's losing her daughter, and Lord, the family there, may you comfort them and be with them. Lord, may you walk with us, draw us a little closer. If there be one here, Lord, that doesn't know what it's like to have that knock on their heart, Lord, if you would come and reach out to them, Lord, whether it's today or this week, Lord, may they remember what your word said, Lord, to receive you, Lord, and not to turn you aside. When they hear that knock, Lord, come to you. And Lord, may you bring that union with them. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise and ask you to go now with us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Brother Michael, come on.